Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
So, excited to be starting off a new series, this series called Stand Against. And as we were talking about kind of what was next after this Samson series, we were really trying to take a look at what it would look like to talk about, as we just looked at this story of Samson where he had these massive failures, but God still used him anyway. How do we look at what to do right? Right? We saw what Samson did and the things that he did wrong and the ways that he fell into sin. He allowed his morals and his desire to follow the Lord to be eroded, and it led him to this ultimate breaking point. How do we resist that, right? The reality is, if we're going to be called to follow the Lord, there is the natural inclinations of our heart, as well as external forces, our world, and spiritual forces on top of that, that want to erode, distract, and get us to cease following God with our lives. And so this was kind of born out of that idea, this reality of spiritual warfare, this opposition that is coming against us, understanding what that means, and then understanding how to be equipped, well-armed with God's provision in order to have the victory that he gives us. And so tonight, we're going to be starting this series. It's a series in Ephesians chapter 6. Many of you may have heard of the armor of God before. And throughout these next weeks, we're going to look at these specific pieces of the armor of God and how to actually practically use them in our lives as we resist sin, as we resist temptation. But tonight, I want to talk about the reality of why we wear the armor of God. Sometimes we talk a lot about the armor of God and then it just becomes something that we think about as, oh, I should do this. But there is sometimes a lack of urgency in our lives to wear this armor of God. And so the question comes, why? Why wear the armor of God? Why is it so important? Why is it so necessary in our lives? And one of the interesting things is it's a piece of the passage on the armor of God that oftentimes gets skipped because people jump right to the armor of God. But tonight we're going to look at how Paul answers that question of why wear this armor. But before we dive into God's word, let's pray and ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it gives us such incredible insight, such incredible wisdom on how to live, and that it provides us truth and that which is necessary for our lives, that it guides us, that it helps us to grow more and more and more. Lord, I pray that tonight as we dive into your word, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, teach us, that you would shape us, that we would live differently because of your word. Lord, we so desperately need you, and we are so desperate for you. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So open with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Like I said, if you have your Bibles, grab them. Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use a Bible app. Or like I said, there's Bibles back at guest services. Go grab one of those. Take it home with you. You need God's word. And so in Ephesians, Paul is the writer here, and he is writing to this church that was in this city called Ephesus. And this church is filled with Christians, and these Christians that are part of this church are from very different cultures. And so the reality of how they're living is they all have different backgrounds. They all have different relationships with God, because some of them may have grown up as Israelites. And so they have a deep understanding of the Old Testament scriptures, a deep understanding of who God is and his character, and then have come to know Christ and are beginning to walk through what it means to follow Jesus. Some of them are from pagan religions, and they have no knowledge of God. They have no knowledge of who he is, any of these different things. And so they're all kind of at different places. They all have different cultural backgrounds. They all have different heritages. They all are part of different socioeconomic groups. And so the reality is they are very different. And so Paul is writing this letter to them for a couple different reasons. The first is to specifically deal with how to get along with different people. How do you get along with people who are vastly, vastly different from you, have grown up vastly different from you, have a vastly different understanding of God than you, and are culturally different from you, and all these different things? How do you get along? And the way in which he's doing that is he talks about, as you are a new believer in Jesus Christ, here is what you all should begin to look like as followers of Christ. And here are the things that you should begin to do as you follow Christ. There's this commonality, even though there is vastly different in all these other areas, there's one commonality in you, and that is you have been given this new identity as followers of Jesus Christ, and you are called to be obedient in those things. And you are uniformly, all of you together, are called to be obedient in a different way. So you can find your commonality in how you're supposed to live, in how you're supposed to hold one another accountable, and who you are supposed to rely on to do these things. And so as you have struggles, as you have disagreements, as you are very different, and there's misunderstandings and all these different troubles that come along with being very different and being in close proximity as the church, there is one person who you are supposed to rely on to help you, and that is Christ. And in Ephesians 6, he talks about the real nitty-gritty of what it looks like to rely on Christ. And so he says this, Ephesians chapter 6, let's start in verse 10. We're going to go through verse 12. We're going to break it down a little bit as we walk through it. So it says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so here's what Paul does. He says, be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God. Now, when you talk about this idea of armor, armor has a very specific purpose, which is to protect you in battle, in war, right? It would be kind of odd if I walked out here on stage in like full riot gear attire, right? Like if I came out and I had like a bulletproof vest and like this heavy face shield and a riot shield and like all this massive Kevlar on me, you would look and say, Justin, what information do you have that I don't have? Like, I'm getting a little bit concerned being here right now. The fact that you have all this armor on and I don't. Like, what's going on? Usually when you wear armor, you are going to engage in a battle, right? You are going to engage in some sort of dangerous warfare. And so what Paul says here is he gives them the prescription of put on the armor of God, but he tells them why he has prescribed that armor of God. He says, there is a war going on. There is a war going on. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so he says there's this wrestle, there's this war, there's this battle that is going on in these spiritual and heavenly places. He goes, it may seem at times like you're wrestling against people around you. And if you reference back to the reason why he's writing, right, this difference in culture and how sometimes they'll end up in disagreements, right? He reminding them, hey, just because you're having differences and squabbles and disputes with those around you, and just because you're under persecution from the Romans, from the people in your world outside of the church, that doesn't mean that people are your enemies. It means that there are spiritual forces that are utilizing people to come after you. And those spiritual forces, Satan, his minions, our sinful flesh, they do not always use people. They use way more than that. And there is this very real battle that's going on. And so you have to understand that there is a very present danger to you that you have to be prepared and ready for. You are not odd for wearing spiritual armor. In fact, you are in critical danger if you're not wearing spiritual armor, because you've wandered onto a battlefield unarmed. You've wandered onto a spiritual battlefield with nothing but the shirt on your back. And there are arrows flying. There are siege weapons throwing this, that, and the other, and you are left unprotected because you are not wearing this strength of the Lord. There is no hope for you to win this battle because you are not equipped with the weapons of war to be able to defend yourself. And so he says, this is the reality. There's this war going on. But it's crucial that as we talk about this war going on, we understand the reality of the battlefield, the battle lines, how they're drawn. If you think about any good war movie, there are usually, as you talk about a war movie, there are two things that make a great war movie. The first one is most obvious, the action, right? You have to have like good battle sequences. There has to be good fight scenes. There has to be all this crazy stuff going on. A good soundtrack, preferably written by Hans Zimmer, right? There's got to be this very specific direction that it has where you can see just the wonderful action play out. But having a good action movie is not brought to its pinnacle, its peak, by just good action sequences. What you need in tandem with good action sequences is you need a good story within these war movies. Why? Because if you don't understand why this fighting is happening and you're not connected to either side, then there's really no tug in one direction or the other. You're just watching violence, right? And so every good war movie has a very compelling story that connects you to one side and it villainizes the other side so that you want to win, you want your side to win, and you want this side to lose, right? And the same is true for understanding the reality of this spiritual warfare. We talk about spiritual warfare, it can be easy for us to view ourselves as just passive bystanders in this cosmic spiritual war. But the reality is, it is anything but that. You belong to one side or the other. And the reality is, you have to understand why, and then you have to understand what each force side is fighting for. And so I want to take a look at this reality. And so when you look at this idea that Paul is talking about in Ephesians, you say, okay, who is on what side? As you talk about these spiritual forces that are fighting, what does that look like? And so on one side, you could give the churchy Sunday school answer. You say, God, right, is on one side, right? And he is fighting on one side. And then the other side, you have Satan, right? And you say, oh, well, Justin, I kind of assumed that, right? I could have just thrown those answers out and kind of figured that out. Yes, but the reality of how that plays out is very different. Sometimes we think they're the only ones on that side, right? God has his angels that he's fighting with, and the Christians, and then Satan has the world, his demons, and everyone else. And so we have these lines that are drawn, but the reality is they're fighting over humanity and sin. They are at war because God has called humanity to follow him. He's created humanity, and he's created humanity on earth, and he's created all of creation, and the desire, because he knows what is best as creator. As creator, he knows what is best for all of creation, and he knows what is best for humanity. And he says, what's best is for you to follow me, because I created you, I made you, I knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know intrinsically who you are and what is best for you. And what is best for you is to follow and obey the things that I've laid out for you. Why? Because those are good things. They're not anti-fun. They're anti-sin. Because sin is that which Satan is trying to call humanity to. And what is Satan? Anything that is disobedient, contrary to our Creator God. He looks, he says, everything that God calls you to is good, and therefore I don't want you to have it. I want you to pursue anything but him. I want you to pursue you. I don't even care if you pursue me. I just don't want you to pursue God. And that is the reality of sin. As humanity, we have sinned. And we have chosen to disobey the truth, the good truth given to us by our Creator God. And in doing so, we have done things like lie, steal, hurt others, pursue our own selfish desires. And what those things are they're contrary to the things that God laid out for us. God is a God of truth. He's a God of joy, mercy, love, kindness. He is a generous God. And so when we pursue those things that are contrary to him, what we do is we align ourselves with sin and Satan. Why? Because we, in essence, are saying the exact same thing that Satan's saying. Satan says, I want you to serve anything but God. And when we disobey God, what we're saying is, we will serve us. Who is us? Anything but God. That's the reality. And so in doing so, in this cosmic and spiritual battle, what we've done in sin is we have aligned ourselves with these cosmic spiritual forces. When we sin, we align, aid, embed the enemy in this present darkness. Because of this evil, we have given ourselves over to Satan. How? As slaves. We didn't say, Satan will do whatever as long as it's not be obedient to God. As long as I can maintain some semblance of control in my life, then Satan, I'll do whatever you want, whenever you want, I'll be obedient to you, even though we try and tell us that's being obedient to us. And so we've given ourselves over as slaves to Satan. Why? Because our sin has driven this wedge between us and God. Because we've looked to say, we know better. Now, it sounds really harsh, but that's the reality of the choice that we've made. In Isaiah says that we have hidden God's face from us. Not that God has hidden his face from us, that we have hidden God's face from us. That we've looked and say, God, we don't want anything to do with you. We don't want any of your ways. We want to do our own lives the way that we want to do our own lives. Now, God loves us. And he deeply cares for us. And though we have made enmity between us and God, or we have placed ourselves on the side of the enemy and say, God, you are our enemy with our actions, God saw us and he had mercy and compassion on us. He wanted for us salvation from the captivity that we had given ourselves over to. And so he gave us the free gift of grace and salvation. And he sent us Christ Jesus, his son. Now Christ crossed the battlefield lines. He bore the punishment that we are unable to bear because we're deserving of it. He went to the cross. He died, descended into hell, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead, conquering sin, giving victory, freeing, leading us from our sin, freeing us from the clutches of the enemy and reuniting us with God. It is this wonderful, beautiful story that is a reality in our lives. And he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your hearts that he is risen from the dead, you will be saved. He paid the price for our freedom. He set us free from our slavery and from Satan. And so Paul says, if you do these things, you can have salvation. And so the question comes, what side of the battlefield are you on? Do you continue to remain in sin? You say, yeah, I've heard about this Jesus guy who died for me, but I still want to do my own life. I'm not saying this to be a jerk. I'm not saying this to be mean. You have aligned yourself with the things that are contrary and at war with God. That's the side you've placed yourself on. I say that as a warning, as a danger, because we know the victory is ultimately God's. And so I warn you to look and say, God has given you a free gift of salvation. He has offered you a truce to come over and to be a part of his side. Victory will be his. It is finished. And so tonight, my warning to you is if you continue to remain on this side, we say, I'm going to do my own life. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to keep pursuing my own things. I don't care what God says about my life. I don't care how he calls me to live. I don't care even if it's better for me, at least I'm doing me and I'm in control of me over here. The warning is you understand which side you have placed yourself on. If you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, you have aligned yourself as an enemy of God. That is what you have chosen, not what God has destined for you. That is what you are pursuing. And so tonight, my encouragement to you would be confess to Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead. Align yourself with the victor. But for those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Lord, who have aligned ourselves with God and been united with God, you have to understand the battle lines that are drawn are here because Satan is not going to simply go quiet into the night. He's going to wage war against our lives. And he's going to look to distract us, to divert our attention, to pull us back into sin. And so Paul writes this to remind us, you are still in a battle. Though victory is on the horizon, there is still a battle that is going on. So arm yourselves. And so Paul says, we fight and we wage war. But at the beginning of this passage, it's so crucial how he talks about this. Verse 10, go back to verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. When he talks about this reality of fighting in this war, when he talks about this reality of standing against the schemes of the devil, standing against our enemies, he looks and he says, It is not according to your strength. It is according to the strength of the Lord. Paul says we fight, we wage war, not according to our own strength, but of the strength of the Lord. Some of us have in our minds that backwards. We think that in order to align ourselves with Christ, we have to fight our way out of sin. Oh, I have to be strong enough. I have to be clean this many days to come to know the Lord. I have to have this amount of spiritual success to show up to church. But the reality is, not only does Christ save us through his death and resurrection, as we are aligned with him, he strengthens us to resist these forces that are looking to ensnare us, capture us, destroy us. And so what Paul says is, be very careful fighting according to your own strength. Some of you in this room are fighting the recovery journey under your own strength. You think that it's all about your self-discipline. You think that it's all about your will, about your ability to just say no, your ability to do these things or start better practices or eat healthier, whatever you want to do that you think is going to give you success. And what Paul is saying here is, he's saying, you are bringing a knife to a gunfight. That's what he's saying. You're bringing a knife to a gunfight. You are showing up on this spiritual battlefield where sin is waging war against you, where Satan and his minions are scheming against you, and you are holding a knife and they are targeting hellfire missiles on you. There is a much stronger power that you need. There are greater weapons of war that you have to be equipped with. And Paul says those weapons, those pieces of armor, are not pieces of armor that are you. They're not pieces of armor that are Pastor Justin or Pastor Jason or Pastor Roy or any pastor or any gifted speaker or any podcast or any self-help book. Those weapons and those pieces of armor, they come solely from the Lord. And so in order for you to wear those weapons, or to wield those weapons, and to wear that armor, you have to put it on. You have to humble yourself before the Lord. Over these next few weeks, we're going to look at each one of these pieces very practically. How do I take this piece of armor and equip it into my life? But the reality of doing that is you have to look and say, there is a change that has to happen in my life. I fundamentally am not strong enough. I fundamentally am ill-equipped. There's a humility that comes with that. Look back to what Paul says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. There's no hope for you to stand against the schemes of the enemy without the strength of the Lord, without his might, without the armor of the Lord. And so tonight, the call that I place before you is humble yourselves and be strengthened by God. Over these next weeks, this series, my encouragement to you is to show up each week, not with the, what can I get from this, but with the idea of, God, I desperately need this piece of armor in my life. I need to change. I need to transform. I need to be prepared to put away the old habits. I may be an old dog, but I can learn new tricks. Why? Because it's the strength of the Lord, and I need the strength of the Lord. I need the armor of God. I need to put these things on. That is a mindset of humility to look and say, Lord, without you, I'm ill-equipped and in serious danger. Equip me, strengthen me, train me, transform me, show up in my life, do these things in my life, Lord, because I desperately want to follow you. Because I want to stand firm. So tonight, two questions. What team are you on? And whose strength are you fighting with? And in both those circumstances, the answer is the same, humility. Humble yourself. Tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know, we want you on our team. Our war is not against you. But you are in critical danger because you're aiding the enemy which wants to claim your soul. And for those of you tonight who have not put on this armor of God and are not relying on the strength of the Lord, I warn you, your strength will fail, but Christ will not. And so the answer is the same. Humble yourselves and be strengthened, be transformed, be equipped. And both of those things happen in the wonderful gift of prayer. Not only through prayer, but they start in prayer. Humility begins as we humble ourselves before the Lord. And so tonight, if you're struggling with either of these things, both of these things, we'll have table leaders down front who would love to pray with you, who would love to encourage you, who would love to speak love and truth into your life, and who would love to go with you in humility before the Lord. And so tonight, humble yourself and turn to the Lord in prayer. Be transformed. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we desperately need you. Lord, we need your strength. We rely on your strength. Lord, we need to be equipped. We need you. Lord, we thank you desperately for you saving us from the clutches of sin. Lord, that we, in our sin, have aligned ourselves with evil, Lord, but you saw fit to save us. Lord, tonight I pray for this person in the room, whoever it is, Lord, that is wrestling with that fact, Lord, that knows that they are living a life in sin and is feeling the call of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd give them courage and boldness to humble themselves and receive that salvation from you. Lord, and each and every one of us, as we fight in this war, as we wage war against sin, against Satan, against these principalities, these rulers in this present darkness, Lord, I pray that you would help us to rely on your strength, your might, and to put on the armor of God that we may stand against the enemies that look to overtake us. Lord, whether that be temptation, whether that be circumstance, whatever it may be, Lord, that you would help us to rely on you to fight. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your strength, and we thank you for your joy. Your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.